So I'll tell you, we did this series. We started 17 weeks ago. It's called I Quit. The goal of it was to, well, quit something that is holding us back or distracting us from the dynamic life that God desires for us to have. You know, John 10:10 says, where Jesus communicates to the people around him, and he says, I have come not just so that you might have life, right? We know the conversation he had with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Or he says to him, he says, how must I experience eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you must be born again. And that was a little bit awkward for Nicodemus. But he was saying, no, it's not about a physical rebirth, it's about a spiritual rebirth. It's about recognizing Jesus is the only one that can offer us peace during a time when we experience so much turmoil. Jesus is the only one that can offer us hope when we feel like we're pretty hopeless. And so during this series, we've been looking at our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You know, it's interesting. We started this series in the fall, and really, if we look at this time of year, many would say, well, we should have held off and started it after the Christmas season because things tend to get pretty hectic, don't they? Things get kind of just crazy, and we tend to start running around so much that we forget that there's a purpose and a reason why we celebrate this time of year. So we went through 12 steps. 12 steps of not just recovery, but 12 steps of revival. 12 steps to revitalize our relationship with God, recognizing that there are potential things around us that are holding us back. And so we went through these 12 steps. And so now we're here. Another reason why we did this series was because of the relationship it has to Celebrate Recovery. The fact that we're relaunching Celebrate Recovery in January. January 10th, church, is coming. And it's going to be incredible. And we believe that because we have prayed deeply, that this is one of the areas where God is calling us to reach wider as a congregation. That we would love on anyone who walks in the door, amen? Amen? But we would especially love those who are coming and maybe for the first time stepping through the doors of the church, recognizing that they have a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up, and they are desperate to be greeted by a person or persons, and especially to be greeted by Jesus, and that we really are a come-as-you-are church. We can't say that we want to be a come-as-you-are church and then expect people to get cleaned up before they arrive. If we want to be a come-as-you-are church, then we need to be a come-as-you-are people. We need to be willing to dive deep. We need to be willing to help those that are hurting around us. So we find ourselves in the last Sunday of this series, I Quit. The principle that we looked at last week, principle 8 and step 12, are the same this week, so I'll read those for us this morning. Principle 8 of Celebrate Recovery, which again, this is the why of Celebrate Recovery. Principle 8 says, yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. So Matthew 5, verse 10, is the scriptural foundation for this principle. And it reads, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And so now we look at step 12. Step 12 in Celebrate Recovery and step 12 in a 12-step program are identical. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Again, making sure that all of this is grounded in the scripture, also recognizing that Jesus was the one who wrote the 12 steps long before we ever put him into a program. Jesus' Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 is an incredible launching point for us to realize that Jesus had already written the 12 steps. And if we simply follow the commands of what Jesus and how he calls us to live, then we can conquer the evil that's around us. In fact, he even says later, Paul says that we are more than conquerors that are those in Christ Jesus. More than conquerors. Isn't that good news this morning? So the scripture that is foundational for step 12 is Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. And it's the end, last part. It says, give as freely as you have received. Give as freely as you have received. We looked at that scripture, especially last week, when we talked about blessed, to be a blessing. To recognize that blessing takes on many different forms. That blessing isn't just what we receive. That we have the ability to bless others around us. And I don't just mean by giving them a handout or a hand up or a hand down or to give financial resources, those types of things. Those are good things. But to be a blessing is to look someone in the eye and to really see them, right? We talked about some of these things last week. I know that there are times when we feel like in this process that it doesn't make sense that God would want to bless us to bless someone else. But that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to bless us in order for us to be able to be a blessing. So even our own lives, God can use to bless those around us. Take a few minutes and watch this quick video with me.
Una comunidad como Caldeura no es un lugar para tener un violín. De hecho, el violín, un violín cuesta más que su casa.
En ese grupo acá mismo encontramos el colado de violín. Y de ese empezamos los instrumentos reciclados.
Un, dos, tres.
Y mi vida sería... Sin la música estaría decoreíble.
La gente se da cuenta que no tenemos que tirar la basura muy fácilmente. No tenemos que desechar a las personas muy fácilmente.
All those things that they were using as instruments was trash. It's garbage. It's just garbage, just thrown away, discarded trash. And I think that there are times that we feel the same way, that we feel like that we've been discarded, that there's times when we look in the mirror and we don't necessarily like what we see and we feel like we're trash. But I want to tell you something this morning. God doesn't make trash. God doesn't make trash. God doesn't discard people. In fact, what God does is he recycles. Aren't you thankful that God recycles? Amen. Man, I'm thankful that God upcycles. Right? Because my life wasn't just recycled. My life was upcycled. And I can tell you and I can stand before you that there are times and there are moments in my life where I too feel like a discarded piece of trash. But I'm so thankful in those moments that I can turn to God and I'll turn to his word, and his word communicates to me over and over again how much he loves me and how beautiful I am in his sight, and that he made me and that he knew me before I was born. You see, God doesn't make trash. Today is all about recycling. What we're going to talk about this morning is all about recycling. Instead of dwelling on our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups, we can allow God to recycle them so that they can be used. See, the amazing thing is, when you look at that cello, and it's literally a drum with strings over it, you look at that and you just might say, there's no way that could make a beautiful sound. And I know when we look at it in our own lives, we think to ourselves, there's no way that can make a beautiful sound. In fact, if you put that cello in my hands, the likelihood is it probably still won't make a beautiful sound. But when you put that cello in the hands of a person that knows how to use it, it can make the most beautiful music as if it was sitting next to a $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 cello. And that's exactly how God operates in our life. In my own life and in my own way, I cannot make beautiful music on my own. Because when you look at me, all you see is a barrel with a bunch of strings wrapped over it. But in the hands of God, God takes that, and God can make beautiful music out of what we deem discarded. We need to allow God to recycle us this morning. We need to allow God to recycle our story. Allow him to take that which is hurting and that which might be feel broken, and allow him to use it to be a blessing to someone else, and allow him to use it to tell a different story. A story where he goes into the landfill of our life and he pulls out these things and you look at it and you go, I don't know, God. And God's like, no, trust me. Because if you're willing, I can use it. Because church, the truth this morning is, look at me, look at me, look at me. If you're willing, he can use you. Do you hear me, church? If you're willing, he can use you. See, that's the whole thing. Society tells us that pain is useless. Society tells us that you need to leave pain at the door. But I tell you that nothing is useless when it's in the hands of God. Nothing. Think about this. Tell the sling and the stone that it was useless when a shepherd boy threw it across the field and knocked a giant in the middle of the forehead and knocked him to the ground. Tell that sling and stone that it was useless. You know what? Tell the jawbone that Samson used to defeat the Philistines. Tell that jawbone that it was useless. Right? Tell the clay pots and the torches that they were useless to confuse an army that was literally 5-6 times the army of the Israelites. But yet they defeated them. And as they looked and they smashed their clay pots and they held up their torches, the army around them was so confused. And why is that? It's not because there was something magical about the clay pots and the torches. It wasn't because there was something magical about a sling and a stone or something magical about a jawbone. These were just objects that God used in the right hands because people were willing to be used. And we saw God do miraculous things through that. Because even simple objects in the hands of God become powerful objects in the kingdom. Can I say that one more time? That even simple objects in the hands of God can become powerful objects in the kingdom. God has proven that he can use anything and anyone as long as they're willing to submit to him. Don't say no. When God wants to use you, don't say no. Instead, say yes. Say yes. So our first principle in our acrostic this morning for yes is yield. We're going to first yield ourselves to God to be used to bring this good news to others by my own example and by my words. Steinway pianos, the most beautiful, elegant, reputable, and expensive pianos in the world. Steinway pianos are gorgeous. But could you imagine if a Steinway piano decided one day that it wasn't going to allow itself to be played anymore? Could you imagine? Now, go with me a little bit. I know that the piano can't necessarily choose to not be played, but theater of the mind here. But could you imagine if one day that the concert pianist sits down at that beautiful piano and the piano lid shuts real fast and the piano just locks up and says, no, I refuse to be played. That pianist would be sitting there going, what do you mean you refuse to be played? You're the most beautiful, elegant piano in the world. Why would you not want to be played? I know, it seems kind of funny, doesn't it? But it's the same thing that we experience. You can't imagine something like that not wanting to be played. But yet, when God looks at you, he sees the most beautiful, elegant, and listen to me, priceless thing that he ever made. And there are times in our life where we simply are just like that stubborn piano, and we refuse to be played. We slam the keys. We shut down. We say, no, you cannot use me. And God looks at us and he goes, why not? Why not? I can use you. I can do incredible things through you. You just simply have to be willing. God tells us to yield to him. One of my favorite passages of scripture is actually found in Jeremiah chapter 18. And in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, the word says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at the wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and he started over. Then the Lord gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. So are you in my hand. You see, there's a lot of things that are going on here. It's the recognition and understanding that God is God and I am not. Amen? It's the recognition that God is the potter and we are the clay. And the last time I checked, it doesn't ever really work well when the clay pushes back against the potter. And so when we look at this, we realize that we need to allow the Lord to take the clump of clay that we are and to shape us into what he wants us to be. To be made in his image means that we are his image bearer. We are God's imago Dei. We are made in the image of God. And to truly practice this last principle, to yield, we need to give God the latitude that he needs to use us as he sees fit. So the E in yes is example. Example is what is important. Example is what is important. Simply put, your walk needs to match your talk. Your walk needs to match your talk. We see a lot of people doing a lot of this, don't we? You see a lot of people on social media doing a whole lot of this. But when do we see this actually match to their feet? When is it that we see people not just willing to talk about it, but they're willing to do something about it as well? Our faith becomes richer. Our faith becomes more vibrant when we're able to put one foot in front of the other and keep stepping in faith. To say that God is going to be the one that knows and he can order my steps. He's the one that stands behind me and whispers in my ear, now this is the way, now walk in it. He's the one that says, whether you go from the right or whether you go to the right or to the left, I am there. So if he is there and if he is guiding us and he doesn't just go before us, but he's also our rear guard, why would we not have the confidence to say, okay, God, I walk with boldness and with confidence that you who began a good work in me will see it under completion. That I can walk confidently each step, each day, moving forward, knowing that I am the clay, you are the potter. Knowing that I'm just an inanimate object when it comes to society, but I can be powerful and I can be mighty and I can be used when I'm placed in your hands. These are good things, church. And I know right now what I'm sensing from many of you and what I'm sensing from you right now is that you don't believe that. I'm sensing that you don't believe that. And I don't know what else I need to say in order to convince you that if you just willingly allow yourself and you just lay yourself down and you say, God, you are the potter. I am the clay. You know what? I want you just to take a few seconds. If you don't do anything else the rest of this day, If you don't hear anything else that I say in the next couple of minutes as we close, if you don't do anything else, I want you to take just a few seconds right now. And if the only thing that you pray is, God, you are the potter. I am the clay. Can you just quiet yourself down for a few minutes? Just for a few seconds, sorry. And you know what? Let's just go to him in prayer. Gracious Lord, your Holy Spirit is speaking so clearly to me right now. And helping me to understand that I believe a lot of us that are sitting in this space are hearing these words and they're thinking to themselves, well, yeah, Pastor, in theory, this works. In theory, this looks good. In theory, yes, I maybe believe that God can use me to do incredible things. But God, if I'm honest this morning, I don't care how much you dress me up. I just still feel like a discarded piece of garbage. God, if I'm being honest this morning, my hurt is greater than your help. So Jesus, I come to you right now as we pause. And if all we do is just simply to just utter the phrase in our heart, you are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Jesus, I pray that you would begin to break through into our hearts, break through into our minds, break through into the chains and the bondage and the darkness that seems to be creeping in. Lord, I pray that your light would just begin to expel it out. Lord, I pray that your light would begin to just cast out all fear. Lord, I pray that your light would be moving in such a powerful way that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are here and that you are speaking directly to our hearts. Lord, give us the confidence to know that this isn't just idle chatter, that what we're talking about this morning isn't just a really powerful video that we watched, but it's an opportunity for you to recycle our faith, for you to recycle our life, for you to recycle even our vision. And so, Lord, we come before you now. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. You know, I just really felt like that was probably the most important thing that we're going to do this morning. Just to give that opportunity for you to know God doesn't make trash. Man, and I know life pushes, and I know life pushes and pushes and pushes, but he is the potter, and you are the clay. Just allow him to mold you and shape you. I'll be honest, it doesn't always feel good. Right? It doesn't always feel good. But we know that it's for our benefit because he knows us. When we talk about our example, I think one of the most powerful things that we realize is that we believe in hearing good sermons, but what about seeing good sermons? You know, I mean, there's times, I mean, according to you all, I've never preached a bad message, right? I stand in the back, oh, pastor, that was such a great message. And I just kind of, oh, thank you so much. You're lying, right? I'm just teasing. You all are encouraging. You're encouraging. But it's, you know, we all enjoy hearing good messages, but what about seeing a good message? What about taking the principles that we're learning and actually applying them to our daily living? What if we came in on Sundays and we said, I need to come and I need to allow God to work in me, to use me, and I need to be in this place because I know Monday through Saturday is an opportunity to be used by God, to take what I'm hearing and to apply it to my life so that my life isn't just this eternal repeat, right? It's like wash, rinse, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat. Do you ever feel like you know what your week's going to look like because it looked the same as last week? Here's the exciting thing about when we enter into an incredible and dynamic relationship with God. Each week can be amazing in His hands. That doesn't mean that it will be. It doesn't mean that you're going to baptize 3,000 people every week, right? And it doesn't mean that hard times aren't going to come. But what it does mean is that you have the hand of the Savior to walk with you through all of it. Amen. You have the one that can upcycle and recycle and reinvent and all those other great words. If you want someone to see what Christ can do for them, let them see what Christ has done for you. Y'all need to tweet that. Somebody needs to tweet it. Or write that down. Because that's good. That's a good word right there. If you want someone to see what Christ can do for them, let them see what Christ has done for you. Because you have the opportunity to be the best message they've ever seen. You have the opportunity to be, you know, and you've heard the cliche, you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. Man, I wish that wasn't just a cliche. I wish that we would begin to really realize that there is a generation of people that are growing up that they don't even know what the Bible is. They don't even know where to find a Bible. By the way, if you need one, take the one in the pew rack in front of you because it's a gift from us to you. If you need a Bible, take that pew rack Bible right there because that we purchased those. They're donated to us intended for them to leave here. And next week, we're going to have our new ones that are in there, and I'm really excited about it. I wanted to do it this week, but we ran out of time, and I felt bad. But they're really cool. So here's a question to ask yourself. Does my lifestyle reflect what I believe? Does my lifestyle reflect what I believe? Here's another challenging question. What example are you showing to the world? What example are you showing to the world? Are you showing the example of selfishness, of pride, of lust? Is that the example that we're showing the world? Or does your life reflect love and humility and service? Does your life look like you, or does your life look like Christ? And again, these are challenging questions for us. I love what 1 Timothy 1:5 says. It says, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. It's all about the example and being the example. General George Marshall was taking over the command post for the infantry school at Fort Benning. And when he showed up, this general, very prestigious general, showed up at Fort Benning, he realized that the fort was completely dilapidated. I mean, there was just paint peeling off of buildings. It just had not been taken care of very well. It did not look like something to be proud of. And so General Marshall had every opportunity to call someone else and to say, get over here right now and fix this. He could have had all like new recruits and all those who were in basic training to come over and say, you know, take a break from basic training and fix my house. He's a general. He can do that. But instead, General Marshall took out his paintbrushes. He took out his lawn equipment, all of his own stuff. And he didn't ask anybody, he didn't tell anybody, he just went out there and he started scraping paint off of that old building that hadn't been taken care of. And he was out there for days, and then days turned into weeks, and all of a sudden, the officers that were living around him started to notice. They were like, wait a minute, like he's doing this on his own. And you know what happened? All those officers got out their paintbrushes. They got out their lawn equipment. They didn't go and ask somebody below them to take care of it. They said, no, we are going to take care of this. And over time, and over a short amount of time, and within about a month, Fort Benning was a beautiful crown jewel post for the U.S. Army. But where did it start? It started with a general who was willing to set the example. He didn't ask anybody else to do it. He just got out there and he did it himself. That's the opportunity that we have. So then the last S in yes is serve. To serve others as Jesus Christ served. So we got it to principle 8 here, and it means that we need to take the Lord's towel. The Lord's towel is the towel that Jesus had wrapped around his waist when he washed his disciples' feet. He washed his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. When they even refused, they were like, no, Jesus, you can't do this. This is actually meant for the servant. Actually, not even the servant, the servant's servant. And he said, no. He said, because I need to show you the example. I need to show you, if I'm going to expect you to wash people's feet, then you need to know that I'm willing to wash people's feet. I said it last week and I'll say it again. Jesus will never ask you to do something he hasn't already done himself. He'll never ask you to do something that he isn't willing or hasn't already done himself. He is our example. John 13, verses 14 and 15 reads, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Verse 15 is important because it stresses that he gave us an example. We just talked about the example. He is the example. And he says, do as I have done to you. And again, even going back and looking at our past messages and realizing that he doesn't say sit and stay. He says go and do. And he tells his disciples yet again, here's another example where he looks at his disciples and he goes, do this. Don't just talk about it. Don't just meet in holy huddles and come up with strategies about it. You have to go and you have to do it. He says, I've given you this example. Now do what I have done to you. So on Thursday, January 10th, we're going to be relaunching Celebrate Recovery. And I'm excited about it because we believe in faith that this is what God has brought to us. And that through this last 17 weeks, they have been a guide to help us to know what exactly happens in these lessons, these teachings that we go through each week. And again, I mentioned it earlier in the service, but I'm going to reiterate it again. Our mission at Trinity is reaching people, to equip people, to reach people. It's reaching people, to equip people, to reach people. And we believe that Celebrate Recovery is going to allow and provide an opportunity for us to reach more people with the opportunity of equipping them even in their recovery. So we might have people that walk in the door that might not ever sit in our pews as a person on a Sunday morning, quote unquote. But when they come in, they're going to have the opportunity to be equipped to take what they've learned and to use it as a tool for those around them. That's amazing. And so our vision over the next 5 years is to pray deeper and reach wider. Our vision over the next 5 years is through deep prayer, it's praying deeper, that God is going to provide more and more opportunities for us to reach wider. And so with that, we want to start 5 church-type missions in the next 5 years. So that's 1 every year for the next 5 years. The only way that this is going to be possible is really 2 things. Number 1, God's going to do it because we don't have the ability on our own. And it's a big enough vision and a big enough dream that only God can get the glory and the credit for it. And 2, that our congregation is going to get excited about what God wants to do through us. that we're going to look at the possibilities of how God is going to use us to change the world. Look at how many things God has already used to change the world through us. I mean, we are a blessed congregation. And we have incredible opportunities before us. And it doesn't matter your age. If you're the youngest in the nursery or the oldest in the room, God ain't done with you yet. If you're still here, it's because he ain't done with you yet. And as for all of us, God wants to use us. And we just have to be willing. It's not just an individual thing, but it's a communal thing as well. We get to say, not just individually, you are the potter and I am the clay, but we get to also, as a community, as the body of Christ, say, God, you are the potter and we are your clay. Mold us and make us and shape us. See, the amazing thing is Celebrate Recovery fits both our vision and our mission. It fits both. Because we realize it's through reaching wider that we're going to reach more people that have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You know, the greatest revelation when we were in our vision team and vision casting and we spent 9 months praying together and fasting and seeking God, it was the realization that if we look at the world around us, we don't have to look for people with substance abuse to think that they need Celebrate Recovery. And again, I'm thankful that as a congregation, we have dispelled that rumor, that we have begun to realize that there is a whole host of people that are literally living right next door to us, or that we work with, or that we even sleep next to, or that we have relationship with, that have hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and that there is a place that you can go, and you're not going to be shunned, you're not going to be judged, you're not going to be ridiculed. Instead, you're going to be loved, you're going to be taken care of, and you're going to be guided through a process in order to restore you back to the image that God had created you to begin in the first place, which is in his image, to be his image bearer. To take that which is broken, that which is hurting, that which is maybe even dreadful in our lives, and to say, okay, God, you're the potter, I am the clay. That's what Celebrate Recovery offers us. So there's an opportunity for you to say yes in 2019, especially when we're talking about this morning with Celebrate Recovery. And I listed for you just a couple of ways that every person in this room has the equal opportunity to be able to participate in being the hands and feet of Jesus in this mission. And you know what? I'm actually going to ask. This is, I hope I don't get in trouble for this because I just feel like the Spirit laid it on me, so I'm going to say it. I'm going to ask for you to commit for 3 months to one of these initiatives. Because if you can commit to 3 months, it's going to give us the help that we need in order to get this thing off the ground. And the goal is that as we get it up off the ground, that people, as they come through, that we're going to train them, we're going to teach them. You're going to be hearing more and more about leadership development. You're going to hear more and more about apprentice leadership in the life of our church. You're going to be hearing more about how you can not just get involved, but raise up somebody underneath of you. Raise up somebody to come alongside you. Because the only way that we're going to be able to do what God has in store for us is we're going to have to train up leaders. So these are some examples. We are going to offer a dinner on the first Thursday of every month. And we already have a few people that have said, hey, listen, I'm going to help out with those meals. That's amazing. I love that. But we need a couple of people that are willing to take on a rotation so that we're not asking you to serve every single week. We may be asking you to serve once a month or twice or once every 2 months. If we all just came together and said that we believe in this and we believe that God has brought this to us and we want to be a part of this ministry and we don't want to see it just be another ministry in the life of the church, but to really have an impact, then we all can pull together and we can do it. And that way it doesn't task and it doesn't tax all of us and all of our resources at one time. I mean, look at that, help make coffee. Is there anybody in the house that can make a cup of coffee? Yeah, you all are giggling, but like, right? You know, thank you. Chris raised his hand. He's like, I can make a cup of coffee, right? I mean, seriously, like these are the things that we need. We need help with having greeters. The most important ministry that is up on that screen right now is greeters. Do you know why? I have stood in the lobby of this church and I have watched people that have walked through the door at Celebrate Recovery. They've made it about halfway, tears streaming down their face, and they turn around and they start to walk out. Because it took everything that they had in that moment to be able to get to that point. I've watched people that have just come in and it is intimidating. And we need people that are just willing to be here and just to have a gentle smile and a gentle spirit and to say, no, you're in the right place. Healing begins here. And I've seen y'all. You guys have beautiful smiles. Some of you are like the world's greatest huggers. Right? Now, I'm not saying you have to hug everybody. But if you're a hugger, you probably do anyway. But you have the opportunity to take that and just use it in God's hands and just be a tool, be a vessel, be a person that God can use in those moments. And I know everybody, the fear is, well, what do I say? Here's the best part. You don't have to say anything. You just simply have to just love on the people that walk through the door. And I don't care if they come in on Friday night, Saturday night, or Sunday morning. Everybody who walks in this door should know that we are a come-as-you-are church. You know what? The greatest thing that you can hear as a pastor is if two people are walking in downtown Naperville and they're talking about that church, right? You know what you want to hear them say? You know what? That church, oh, they really love people there. They really love people there. Man, that church, it doesn't matter what you've done or who you are. They're going to love you. That's the type of church we want to be known as, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Well, as we close, I invite you to stand. And I just want to end. The principle 8 really can be boiled down to this phrase here. It's do what you can with what you have where you are. Do what you can with what you have where you are. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your just incredible mark of grace on our lives. The fact that we come into this place all at different points, all at different places, all from different experiences. And yet, Lord, through all of that, your grace is the same. The magnitude and the power of your resurrection isn't just something that physically happened thousands of years ago, but it's the same breath that breathed into Christ that breathes into us now, so that we can fill your breath in our lungs and we can live resurrected lives. That we don't have to be held down, tied down, that we don't have to listen to the lies of the world, that we don't have to accept the brokenness, but Lord Jesus, we can look into your face and see restoration, to see revitalization, to see revival. Lord, let it start with me. Jesus, we are so thankful for your presence, and we are now in a season that, Lord, we don't want to miss it. Help us, Lord, not to miss it, not to miss you, not to miss the opportunities around us. And I thank you for what you're about to do and what you have done in the life of our church. Lord, you accepted me for who I was, and now may we, as your word tells us, do the same. And now, Trinity, I just encourage you and invite you just to open up your hands and to receive this blessing, this benediction over your week. And pay attention to these words. These are important words that we don't just read, that we speak. We speak out because we believe that God wants to bless us to be a blessing. And so just be encouraged this week as you go. And I'm just thankful for being here this morning. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.